Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. The podcast for moms making the most of playtime. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly internet radio show and podcast where parents can share, learn, and laugh together about natural play ideas to engage their little tots aged between birth and five. So, let's join our host, Melissa Avila, for this week's show.
Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 16. Have you ever really thought about the literacy connections you've been making with your children? There must be more to this literacy thing than just reading books, surely. Today I'm talking to early childhood literacy specialist Tonya Wright. With over 20 years of experience in the early childhood field, she shares some insights into how we can make literacy activities fun and interesting for both of us at home. I'll be right back after this short break.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars, how many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars, how many treats in the cookie jar? One!
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking with Tonya Wright, an experienced early childhood educator. She has taught preschool, pre-kindergarten, and kindergarten. Tonya's been published in various national, state, and local teacher magazines and newsletters. She blogs online at Room to Grow and Literacy Connections. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tonya, when is a good time to start literacy activities for the under fives?
I suggest that you start them at birth. There's some research that says even before birth you can begin talking and singing to your babies. But definitely as soon as babies are born, you should be talking and singing and making eye contact. Those are all the things that children need in order to grow into literate young children.
That's true. I find with my kids, if I hadn't started out younger, then I think I wouldn't have found the time quick enough.
But, right.
Just starting with that habit when they're younger, you sometimes think, well, what's the point? They're not really going to get what's going on. But I
exactly.
felt it was a bit of a training for me.
Yep, children, you learn to talk by being talked to. So sometimes parents overlook that as they have very young babies. They think, well, they can't understand me, but that's how they learn. They learn to talk by being talked to. If you think of it that way, I think it's easier, and it will become more natural. The more you do it, the more natural it will become.
Is there ever a time when you think that it's too late to do literacy activities? If you hadn't done it when you were a baby, say, and you're starting now 18 months or older, is there ever a time when it's too late?
I don't think there's ever a time when it's too late to introduce literacy activities to children. Even in the toddler ages, they're still learning, their brains are still growing and developing, so it's never too late.
What would be a few good examples of literacy activities for each stage?
For very young infants, like I said, you're going to be doing a lot of talking and singing and talking during routine tasks while you are changing your baby's diaper, feeding, all those routine things. Just do a lot of verbal interaction with your baby. Books that have large pictures and few words are very good for infants. You're going to want to look for books that are either cloth or plastic or board books, because babies, of course, we know, put everything in their mouths. For older infants, you're going to want to talk to children in sentences. A lot of people will kind of simplify things a little bit too much, I think, for babies and toddlers, but it's okay to talk to children in full and complete sentences. That's also the age where they're going to be wanting to know what everything is in their environment. So they're going to say, what's this? And you're going to want to describe what those things are. And of course, as they get older, your literacy activities are going to become a little more complex. When they become toddler to age, that's a great time to expose them to sensory activities. That's not specifically a literacy activity, but that's a time for children to learn new experiences, new words. Their brains are still developing, so those sensory experiences are really important. Finger plays, children at that age love books with rhymes and repetition, and the songs that are out now, that most of them have a book that goes with them, like The Wheels on the Bus and things like that. Those are great activities for, you know, children in the toddler 2 age. And then as right before they get to school, when they're preschool ages, 3s and 4s, you're going to want to continue to extend the conversations with children. Try not to ask too many yes or no questions, you know, did you eat pizza today? You're going to get a yes or no answer. As opposed to, you know, just having a conversation, you know, tell me about your picture. You're going to get a whole sentence or several sentences as opposed to one word answer. So, you know, just think about that when you're asking children questions. Older children are able to identify letters and words, and you can make that fun. I mean, my thing is, if children can identify the big M and McDonald's, then surely they can start to learn the letters in their first name, or, you know, M is for mommy and D is for daddy. That's a great way to introduce letters and alphabet letter sounds to preschool children. So those are just a few things. I mean, there are tons more that I could think of, but that's just a few that come to my mind.
Yeah, that's good. I remember the big M for a certain fast food chain. Yeah, as we drive along the road, that can be spotted a mile off.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You can find all these letters just looking around. In the local area, I know where these places are, so it's fun. I can do the same activity with the kids when they're in the backseat.
Even on the cereal boxes that they're eating at the breakfast table, you know, there are letters all around us. So, you know, that's a perfect chance to make learning fun and relative to their real life. It doesn't have to be separate from living.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to move on to look at boys in particular. There's been some talk recently, and it comes up periodically at different times, about boys and writing, and they don't seem to like to write. Mm-hmm. And in general, that boys' literacy isn't the same as girls' and literacy. And I have 3 boys, and so that's a particular interest to me. And I think I see that to some extent. Having been a teacher of older children, I've seen that in the later years.
Surely.
As well. And I just wondered what you had to say about that. Do you find that there's a gender split?
There is, and there's a lot of research that supports that is real and not just, you know, some fictitious thing that teachers or parents see. So there is a lot of research that backs that. What I would say is to find whatever interests that child, whether it's a boy or a girl, and try to create a literacy activity around that theme. If you have a little guy that's interested in dinosaurs, you can take the big construction paper and cut it in the shape of dinosaurs, staple it together. You have a dinosaur book that they can write in and make their own book. If they love cars, then you go to the library and you clean out the whole section that they have on cars. So whatever that child is interested in, if you take that and turn it into a literacy activity, they'll be just fine.
Great. I guess they have to have an interest, and so you have to cultivate that literacy from the very beginning so that
Absolutely.
They are reading. Otherwise, you run into that problem that there's nothing that really interests them, so then how can you move forward?
There's usually something that interests them. It may be a little bit, you know, more difficult to find whatever that interest is. But if you really watch children, there's usually something that they're going to gravitate towards. It might be dogs. It might be bubbles. If they're really, you know, active children, you can put shaving cream on the table and practice writing your letters in the shaving cream, as opposed to, you know, here, let's do it with a pencil and paper. So there are lots of different ways that I think you can encourage those reluctant children and pull them into a literacy activity.
Yeah, I guess what I'm hearing is that we have to be flexible
and
try lots of different ideas and not be constrained by what we think is the right thing to be doing, that they should be holding a pencil and paper. That we should
exactly
kind of go with the flow.
Exactly, exactly. And remember that, you know, sometimes it's that fear for children that they're going to do something wrong or it's not going to be right. So if you give them finger paint or put flour on the table or, shaving cream, like I said, and they're writing letters, if they get it wrong, they can just, you know, take their hand, erase it, and do it again. There's no fear of failure. There's no fear of failure when you have an activity like that.
I know my kids like the shaving cream very much. And the house
That's
does
always smell. A hit.
Yeah. And I must say the house does too because it smells great after.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
People always come in and are like, what is that smell? Yeah. I can't quite place it.
Shaving cream works wonders for lots of different things.
It does. Today I'm talking with Tonya Wright, an early childhood educator and writer with a passion for language and literacy. What can a parent do at home each day to encourage emergent reading and writing?
Well, some of the things that I mentioned earlier, of course, are going to be reading and singing and just interacting and having conversations with your children. The other thing you want to do is actually be a role model for your child. Let your child see you reading and writing and visiting the library. If you don't know an answer to their question, you know, we tend to just jump, you know, right on the computer and Google or search something online because it's easier. But let them see you going to a book to find the answer, you know, when they ask you all those lovely why questions. And then I also suggest that you have a special place for books. Make books a special thing in your household. And then have a certain time where you read every night. It might be right before you go to bed. Maybe it's in the morning first thing when you wake up. But, you know, make reading a special time in your household.
Great tips there. What guidance would you suggest to parents about using computer games and literacy games with their preschoolers? I've seen in the 6 years that I've had my first, just so many more computer games and literacy games that are available for children to use, especially preschoolers and toddlers. All my peers have always been saying, well, have you got this game or my child's doing this now or this electronic device? And to be honest, we're not really a family that does that type of thing, but I know that it's very popular. What's your opinion or guidance on using computer games with your preschoolers?
This is my opinion. I don't think you have to have computer games. I think you can raise a perfectly literate child without having any of those things. But if you have them, the computer games and the computer itself, it's not inherently bad. But the biggest thing to remember is that you can't replace what you can teach your child as a teacher or as a mom. You can't replace that with a computer. So if you're using the computer, I would say use it as reinforcement, not to introduce new skills or not. Don't rely on it to teach your child to read or to recognize letters. And I would limit the time on the computer the same way you limit your child's time with television. And, you know, keep those things in mind. And then also you don't have to spend the money on the extra software. My kids used to love, when I taught kindergarten, just typing in Microsoft Word or PowerPoint. There's also great there's a site called VoiceThread, which is really great for kids. They can actually, you can scan their artwork and then they can read a sentence about their artwork. And so there are lots of other things that you can do online that are completely free that you don't have to spend, you know, extra money to have this program and that program. If you're looking for programs for your children, I suggest programs that are more than just electronic dittos, you know, just, you know, click here for A, click here for B. That limits children. Look for software that is more creative and open-ended. I think those things are more important. And like I said, I don't think you have to introduce computer skills to very young children. I think they're going to have plenty of time to get those skills. And there are many, many other ways to learn literacy other than the computer.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. How we read books and how much language children hear is so important. I remember, is it Jim Trulisa's book when he talks about how much language children learn before they go to school is very much affects how much they learn as they get older. Is that right?
Right. That is true.
And I was wondering if you could give us an example of how we should read a book?
There are a couple of things that I would tell parents to keep in mind. The first is to not to ignore the parts of the book. You know, we tend to just open the book up to the first page and just start reading. But take some time to actually look at the cover of the book. And if it's a book that you've never read before, you might want to ask your children, what do you think this book is about? What do you think's going to happen? You know, get their mind working and get them ready to really listen to the story. It's also a good idea for, especially for preschoolers, to talk about the parts of the book. You know, this is the front, this is the back, this is the spine. I have a teacher that I work with now who teaches her two-year-olds about the spine of the book. And all the two-year-olds go, the spine of the book holds the book together, just like your back. Yeah, so, you know, just teach children to respect the books and to be excited about books and what the author does and what the illustrator does. So those are things that you can actually do before you actually get to page one of a book. But then once you're on page one, you're going to want to be expressive. You know, you could read the sentence, I can't think of a book off the top of my head, but Chicka Chicka Boom Boom is one of my favorites. So the first line is A told B and B told C, I'll meet you at the top of the coconut tree. Now, I mean, that's what the first line says. You could read it that way, but it'd be much more exciting if you read it in a sing-songy kind of way, like A told B and B told C, I'll meet you at the top of the coconut tree. So that helps the children to hear the rhythm of the words and the language. So, you know, get into the book a little bit. I also suggest if you're not very comfortable doing that, maybe pick up a few books that have the CDs with them and listen to other people read books. That will kind of help, I think, some parents hear how a book should be read to children, and then they can mimic that a little bit when they're reading those books.
Oh, no, they're really good suggestions, because CDs have been a lifesaver for us recently with the boys. They just love to try different ones. There's a couple of good ones that they've had recently that we've just had running through our CD machine. And so it comes on and you see them run to go get the book and flip through and try and do the inflections. They open their mouth and pretend that they are saying the words.
Right, that's great.
So it looks so funny because you know that it's really whoever it is that's speaking on the CD.
And then you know that they're really making that connection between the words that they're hearing and the book. If they can listen to the words and go pick that book, then you know that they're making the connection between what they're hearing and what book they have to read. So that's great.
I just have one last question I wanted to ask, because there are a lot of parents that are reluctant readers for whatever reason, and how would you encourage those parents who have young children and what know and want to help them?
A couple of things. One, like I said, if you're really reluctant, the books on CD are a great alternative. But I would also say, you know, kids are very forgiving.
Yes.
You know, we're not reading in front of an audience full of professors who are going to critique our performance. Kids don't really care. They want to hear the language. They want to interact with you as their parent. They're the most non-judgmental people on earth. So I would just say, you know, if you're that worried about it, just make it that time between you and your child where you don't have to feel like you're performing for another adult, and just, you know, just jump right into it.
Great. Well, you've given us a lot of really great tips. It's been great talking to you. Where can we find you online?
Well, sure. I have, there are two ways you can connect with me. I actually have a blog called Room to Grow, and it's at earlyliteracycounts.blogspot.com, or you can email me at earlyliteracycounts@gmail.com.
Brilliant. That was great. Thanks very much for your tips.
Great.
I'll be right back after this break.
This is Tara from booksbytara.com, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
That was a great interview with Tanya. Tuesday nights on Twitter is GNO night, Girls Night Out. If you want to follow the conversation, use the hashtag GNO. And this past Tuesday was sponsored by MemTales. It was exciting to talk to so many different people about children's literature. Literacy is just so much fun. There were some other people that I wanted to connect you with. Jana blogs about a book meme called Feed Me Books Friday, where she talks about books and you can add your books too. I'll leave a link to the details of how you can enter her Feed Me Books Friday in the show notes. But you can find her website at theadventureofmotherhood.blogspot.com. Another place to find inspiration for literacy activities is with Zoe of Playing by the Book. You can find her at playingbythebook.net. She has a special meme as well each week called Fantastic Fiction for Kids. Readers of the Playing by the Book blog and guest posters from other blogs suggest a short selection of children's fiction books on a particular topic, and Zoe includes music and activity suggestions to accompany the books. So what literacy activities do you enjoy doing at home with your children? Do you have a Kindle? And do your children have any of these electronic readers? I'd love to hear. Let us know by emailing in your suggestions, talking to us in our community, or leaving a reply on our show notes. Okay, it's time to wrap up this show. You've been listening to show number 16 for the week of the 7th of March 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime.
Thanks for listening to the Raising Playful Tots podcast. For new show ideas or comments, leave a voicemail at 214-615-6506, extension 3998, or send an email to Melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. You can follow Melitza on Twitter at PlayActivities, where she tweets about play. Visit the show notes for links to what we have talked about in today's show, or leave a comment at www.raisingplayfultots.com. While you are there, you can sign up for our newsletter so you'll never miss any updates about the show. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell your friends, and please consider writing a review on iTunes to help spread the word.